Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Reconnect My Heart radio program, the show where we talk about when life problems break or tear our hearts apart. On Reconnect My Heart radio program, we will discuss God's answers to life's problems, to reconnect our heart back to the way that God originally made us whole. I am your host, Brother Prater. If you have any questions, comments, or if you want to just listen, feel free to call at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. Or you can listen at www.blogtalkradio.com/reconnect my heart. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/reconnect my heart. So glad that each and every one of y'all took the time out to listen to the program. I hope that you enjoyed your Sunday. I would like to say a huge hello to my church family, True Believers Tabernacle Church, with our pastor, senior pastor, Pastor Otis Logan. We have 4204 Cardinal Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75216. For those who are in the area, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, feel free to pay us a visit. Today, we're going to talk about a very serious subject: when love becomes abusive. We're going to talk about abuse. It is very, very important for each and every one of us to understand that this is a time that the devil really wants to bring that ahead in order for us to feel trapped in whatever situation that we may be in. So we have to understand this is the opportunity for us to really talk about abuse, and we have to bring it up front because it's going on. We cannot ignore, we cannot think, or we cannot fool ourselves thinking that if we don't talk about it, it will just go away. Or we can't think that it happens to other people. It happens to people that we don't know. It happened to people in other countries or even in other cities or other states, but it don't happen to people that we don't know or that I don't know. But you'd be surprised how many people are actually dealing with abuse. And we have to bring that up to the front to let people know how and what, first of all, what it is, how to identify it, but also even to get the help. Once again, for those who are tuning in, this number is 516-453-9118. Or if you want to listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/reconnectmyheart. We will be having some callers to call in, and I do want to say this. Number one, I will not be asking for anyone's name. For those who want to get some help, for those who want to share their story, I want you to know that I will not ask you all to share your name. And also, for those who feel more comfortable, you're welcome to contact me after the program. I will give you my number later on in the program. Abuse is a pattern of behavior used to gain or maintain power or control. Many people experience different forms of abuse. Experiencing even one or two of these in a relationship is a red flag that abuse may be present. Remember, each type of abuse is serious, and no one deserves to experience any form of abuse. The first abuse I want to speak about is physical abuse. Physical abuse is an intentional and unwanted contact with you or someone close to your body. Sometimes abusive behavior does not cause pain or even leave a bruise, but it's still unhealthy. Here are some examples of physical abuse: scratching, punching, biting, strangling, or kicking. Throwing something at a person, pulling their hair, punching or pulling you, grabbing your clothes, using a weapon, smacking on the behind, forcing you to have sex or perform a sexual act, grabbing your face to make you look at them, grabbing you to prevent you from leaving or forcing you to go somewhere. That's physical abuse. Another abuse I want to speak about, emotional abuse. Emotional abuse includes non-physical behavior, such as a threat, an insult, checking in, intimidation, or even trying to isolate you, or even stalking you. What are the behaviors of emotional abuse? Calling you out of your name and putting you down. Yelling, screaming at you. Intentionally embarrassing you in public. Preventing you from seeing or talking with people that you know, which are your family, your friends. Telling you what to do and what to wear. Damaging your property when you're angry, throwing things, throwing objects. Also looking at causing you to hurt yourself, threatening or threatened to commit suicide to keep you from breaking up with him. For right now, for those who are just tuning in, today's topic is when love becomes abusive. When love becomes abusive. Right now, for those who want to call, 516-453-9118. Once again, 516-453-9118. That was part of emotional and mental abuse that I read. Telling you what to wear. That's something I stated earlier. Telling you what to wear. Using online communication or cell phone to control, intimidate, or humiliate you. Accusing you of cheating and often being jealous of your outside relationships. Threatening to harm you, your pet, or people you care about. Making you feel guilty or intimidate you when you don't consent in sexual activity. Threatening to expose your secrets such as your sexual orientation. Causing rumors about you. Threatening to have your children taken away from you. That's emotional abuse. Also, another abuse, sexual abuse. Now, oftentimes people just think about sexual abuse as when there's a courtship, but also sexual abuse happens within marriage. This is the thing. Sexual contact must be agreed upon. Now, first of all, as believers, as Christians, we believe in waiting until we get married. I do want to say that. We're going to follow God's word. Now, sexual abuse, even within marriages, happen. Marriages that are, people that are married, have to consent with sex. Anytime any partner chooses not to have sex and the other person forced themselves to have sex, even if they're with their spouse, that's still abuse and that is considered rape. So no means no, regardless if you have a ring or not. No means no. I do want to say, a lot of time when we think about abuse, we think about the woman. We think about a female being the victim. But there's a rise of men being the victim as well. So does abuse happen with males? Yes, it does. It happens with men and women. So we have to bring it up to the front. So sexual abuse refers to any act that pressures someone to do something sexually they do not want to do. It can also refer to behavior that impacts a person's ability to control their sexual activity or the circumstances in which sexual activity occurs. It is important to know that just because the victim didn't say no doesn't mean that they meant yes. When someone does not resist an unwanted sexual advance, it doesn't mean they consent. Sometimes physical resistance can put a victim at the bigger risk of furthering physical or sexual abuse. Some think that if the victim didn't resist, that it's not counted as abuse. That's not true. This myth is harmful because it makes it more difficult for the victims to speak out, and more likely that they will blame themselves. Whether they are intoxicated or feel pressured, intimidated or obligated to act a certain way, sexual assault or sexual abuse is never the victim's fault. Some of the signs of sexual abuse: unwanted kissing or touching you, unwanted rough or violent sexual activity, rape or attempted rape, refusing to use a condom, keeping someone from protecting themselves, threatening someone into unwanted sexual activity, using sexual insult towards someone, pressuring or forcing someone to have sex or perform a sexual act. The main thing we have to keep in mind, everyone has the right to do or not have sex, to have sex or to not have sex. Everyone has that right. So the thing is, sex is consensual, even within marriage. So we have to be respectful towards one another. Another abuse: digital abuse. Digital abuse is talking about even with dating. It's using technology. There could be someone that could be stalking, following your, let's say, Facebook page, social media, someone that's always stalking you, even online, sending you unwanted pictures, sending you distasteful messages, regardless if it's pictures or even words, telling you who you can and cannot be friends with on social media, send negative, insulting, or even threatening emails, text messages, using sites like Facebook, Twitter to keep constant tabs on you, put you down on status updates, send you unwanted pictures, especially nude pictures, pressuring you to send them videos or even pictures for yourself or about yourself, steals or insults, or even take your password, constantly text you and make you feel like you can't be separated from your phone or fear that you will be punished. They look through your phone frequently. Let me say that again. They look through your phone and personal items. They check on your pictures, your text messages, and even your outgoing calls. They tag you in unwanted or unkind pictures, such as what they do on Instagram or Facebook. You never deserve, let me say that again, you never deserve, no one deserves that kind of treatment. You have to be respected and also allow people and make people respect you. The other type of abuse I want to speak about, something that's very, very serious. We spoke about the physical abuse. We spoke about the mental or emotional abuse. But also, we want to talk about spiritual abuse. Spiritual abuse happens, and unfortunately, a lot of times we think about the abuse outside of the church, but also it happens within the church also. There are some leaders that will try to control their members. I was speaking to a couple of people, and they told me their experience. Some of the leaders would tell their members where they can work, where they can go on vacation, what kind of car to buy, how many children they can have. Unfortunately, the victims believe that the way that they were treated is right, and that at the end, they will be rewarded for their loyalty and obedience to their leader. Their leader will use them or manipulate them or try to use scriptures to make them feel that they have to do that for their leader. That leader supposed to have the example to the congregation, to the people, but unfortunately, they don't. Unfortunately, even though they're supposed to represent the house of God, but they don't possess the heart of God. And unfortunately, when a person receives spiritual abuse, they feel that that way that their leader portrayed themselves is actually how God portrays himself. And unfortunately, that leader sends a false representation of who God really is. So it's our responsibility to bring these things to light and to bring the resources to help people who are going through these experiences to get the help that is rightfully needed. Now, I will say this. A lot of times when we hear about people that's going through some type of abuse, if it's physical, mental, emotional, it's easy for us to tell them, hey, why don't you just leave? People who have never been abused often wonder why people won't just leave an abusive relationship. They don't understand that leaving can be more complicated than it seems. Leaving is often the most dangerous time for a victim of abuse because abuse is about control and power. When a victim leaves, they are causing control or taking control and threatening the abuser, the abusive partner's power, which can cause the abusive partner to retaliate in a very destructive way. Aside from this danger, there are many reasons why people stay in abusive relationships. Here's a couple of reasons. Fear. A person may be afraid of what will happen if they decide to leave the relationship. Believing abusive is normal. Believing abuse is normal. A person may not know what a healthy relationship looks like. Perhaps from growing up in an environment where abuse was common, and they may not recognize that their relationship is unhealthy. They may be embarrassed or ashamed of what they're in. It's often difficult for someone to admit that they've been abused. They may feel they've done wrong, they've done something wrong by they may think that they've done something wrong by being involved with an abusive person. They may also worry that their friends and family may judge them. Low self-esteem. When an abusive partner constantly put someone down and blame them for the abuse, it can be easy for the victim to believe those statements and think that the abuse is their fault. And I do want to say this. Listen, any type of abuse that someone is dealing with, it is not your fault. Another reason why someone may stay in an abusive relationship. Love. So often the victim feel love for the abusive partner. They may have children with them and want to maintain their family. Abusive people can often be charming, especially at the beginning of the relationship. But the victim may hope that their partner will go back to being who they originally were. They may only want that violence to stop, not the relationship to end entirely. Some other reasons: a cultural or a religious reason. Traditional gender roles supported by other cultures or religion may influence them to stay rather than end the relationship for fear of being brought to shame upon their family, bringing shame upon their family. Also, lack of money or resources. Without money, access to resources, or even a place to go, it can seem impossible for them to leave the relationship. This feeling of helplessness can become especially strong if the person lives with their abusive partner. Also, disability. When someone is physically dependent on their abusive partner, they can feel that their partner have their well-being best in their mind. They may feel that their well-being is connected to that relationship. Let me say it again. They can feel that their well-being is connected to that abusive relationship. This dependency could heavily influence their decision to stay in that abusive relationship. But like I said, we never think that it's our fault, or you were born to be treated that way. Listen, everybody have their own identity that God has given them. God has given you your own identity, and your identity is not determined by how someone treat you or how somebody had treated you. The key thing is the person that may be abusing you. Like I said, this is male or female. That person that may be abusing you, that relationship that you may be in, or that relationship that you may be considering, just because those things may be going on, regardless if it's verbal, mental, no matter what kind it is, they do not define who you are. God has already established that way before you were born. So understand, your identity is not tied to who you with or who may be harming you. Right now, for those who want to call in, 516-453-9118. Also, what I'm going to do in the program, later on in the program, I have some resources I do want to provide for the listeners. Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart with the Program. Call, you there?
Mr. Prater?
Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart Radio Program.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can hear you. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing good.
I just want to touch a little bit based on the spiritual abuse.
Yes.
Actually, from 2004 and 2010, I was in a ministry that did a lot of spiritual abuse, and it caused need to be paralyzed within the spirit. Like, I became very bitter. I was angry. Because you go, the reason why you go to a ministry is so you can get help, so you can feel a relationship with God. And for somebody to take advantage of that in leadership, really can cause a major, how to say, turning away from God. If they don't, it's like they're erasing, I wouldn't want to say, use that word, but it's like they're erasing the children of God, manipulating them into believing that they are who they're supposed to be. And so I just wanted to speak a little bit and just talk about that prayer line.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes, first of all, I do want to say that I was having problems hearing my mic. So just in case I had to stop, I wanted to apologize because I couldn't hear myself on the mic. So I wasn't sure if my mic was on or not, but now I got everything situated. Number one, I do want to thank you. And by all means, whatever you want to share, you're welcome to. For those who are listening or those who will be listening, my number is 516-453-9118. For those who want to even want to share their experience, regardless if it's physical, mental, or even spiritual abuse. And this is the thing. We're not just talking about it just to be putting it out in the air without providing help. There is help that God has provided for us to be able to talk about. And we want to make sure that not only we're able to identify what those type of abuses are, but also be able to get the help. Because a lot of time people hear about it, but they don't understand even what they're in could be a definition of a sort of abuse. So a lot of time people just think, okay, abuse have to be physical only, but mental abuse is an abuse also. But also a lot of times people don't understand mental abuse, it scars the mind and the heart. And when someone violates your trust, it takes almost a lifetime to build it back. Now, I do want to say this. Forgiveness is free. But trust has to be earned. And so when we think about forgiveness, we can forgive a person, but trust gonna cost. And so that's what we have to think about. So with the young lady that called about the spiritual abuse, the spiritual abuse, we want to thank you. And also, if you're on the line, feel free to share whatever else you would like to, whatever you feel comfortable with. And like I said, for those who will be calling or those who just listen, that want to call, you're welcome to share. We're not asking for your name. And for those who may want to talk off the line, you can call me personally at 214-908-3056. But the caller, if you're still on the line, feel free to share what you like. You there?
Hello? Okay. Yes, I'm still here.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
I apologize.
Okay.
No, I was just trying to, I just want to testify a little bit on the spiritual abuse and just the side effect that it can have on a Christian believer. After I was in this ministry, it was controlling. The leader didn't allow us to communicate outside the ministry too much. I mean, even though we read the Bible, we prayed, we fast, we saw miracles and deliverance take forth, so forth. However, the manipulation of the spirit, and how I say this, the rebuke was harsh. And another thing that the minister would do would, even though they were coming out, even though the leader was coming out of the Bible, they were switching, they were turning the scriptures around so that it benefits them. And instead of, you know, the scriptures saying, well, you know, being about God, they will make themselves God. And as believers, a lot of people will sit here and say, well, if you study and if you have a relationship with God, that you should be able to, you will be able to understand the fruits. A lot of times in this situation, when you come into a ministry that you, and you're broken already and you're hurt, and they nurse you back in, they pray for you at the altar, they show you love and kindness, and you read the Bible, you're, how do I say, you're so consumed with the fact that, I guess it's about being loved, about somebody's concern about you. And literally in this ministry, we learn how to pray. I would sit in the closet over 4 to 5 hours in my prayer closet. And it was hard for me to believe that I was in the wrong type of ministry. It was hard for me to believe that this was not of God, because we just saw so much take place. And when I, after being in the ministry for 7 years, and it's kind of hard for me to talk about it because I'm very, it still hits real deep in my heart, because my family went through this. I raised my kids up in this ministry. I pushed my own biological family away to be in this ministry because I believe it was where God wanted me to be. I gave all that I had. I mean, my whole paycheck went to this ministry because they, you know, they always go to the scripture about, you know, whatever you give a prophetess or a prophet, you receive a prophetess or a prophet reward. And about how that their duty, I mean, they labor amongst the people. This is the way they get paid. But I can understand pastor, and I can understand paying tithes and offering, but there became vows. And eventually, it was more and more vows. And then they use that scripture. Once they make a vow, it's better not to make a vow than to break a vow. But they didn't even give you a choice about making a vow. They told you, okay, we're going to do this vow, you're going to pay this amount. And then after you agree to make that vow, I mean, do that vow, because you didn't want to go against the woman or man of God, you wind up being stuck in this vow. And then all of a sudden they come behind you and say, okay, if you break this vow, it's better not to make a vow than to break it. And then they talk about all the curses that will be coming. So they instill fear into you. If you leave the ministry, if you talk bad about the leaders, if you expose them, oh, this is going to happen to you, this is going to happen to you, and that you're going to be lied. So a lot of times, bring fear amongst you, fear. And a lot of times, you sit here, you hear what God's speaking, but you believe that it's the devil speaking to you, telling you, you know, coming against the man or woman of God. So once I left this ministry and I gave all my heart to it, all I wanted was Jesus. All I wanted was to be loved by God. And I felt like I had this powerful relationship with God, because he would wake me up 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning to pray. But when I left the ministry, I left God, because I realized that I didn't fear God. I feared the leadership. I feared the leadership of the men. And once I got hurt, and, you know, I used to sit here and say, oh, I would never leave God. I'll never leave God. But once I got hurt, I left the ministry and I left God. And I went all the way back. I didn't want to have nothing to do with church. I was hurt. I would not, and even now at this moment, I mean, for a long time, I would not join the church because I felt as a control. And I felt like if I joined the church, then that gave the leadership control over me. And I didn't want to go in that bondage again. I didn't trust. I couldn't move. It was like being paralyzed. I couldn't go forward. I couldn't go backward. I was just literally hurt, and I became bitter. And once you become bitter, that's the worst thing ever, because when I became bitter, I detached away from my own family. I did things, you know, that my kids didn't understand why I was doing. I went back to drinking. And you're talking about somebody who were in the, who was brought up in church, in the ministry, who walked around, didn't listen to ungodly music. Every movie was about, was, you know, about God and stuff. And then after leaving the church, hitting the club and drinking, literally drinking every single day, not wanting to be around anybody, that any Christians, not wanting to go to church. And so it was hard. It was really hard to deal with. And not just me, it hurt, not just me, a lot of our brothers and sisters that went to this ministry left, and we all left destroyed. And even now we can talk about it, and the hurt is still there. Even though we've all, you know, found different churches and we're all getting up on our feet, we still have that hurt from that spiritual, that leadership hurt, that church hurt, you know. And so that's, I just wanted to give a little testimony on that. Like I said, it's still hard for me to talk about at times, because we sit here and we ask ourselves, why did we allow ourselves to go through this? But literally at that time, we didn't see it. At that time, we just wanted God. We just wanted God. And we love God. And that's what they presented to us at that time. They presented us the love. They presented us, you know, family, not realizing that, you know, it was all about control.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that in the end it sounded like, you know, more of a cult than, you know. So, well, I just wanted to share a little bit of that. I appreciate you guys listening. It's definitely, if you have any questions, Minister Prater, I'll be more than welcome to try my best to answer.
Yes, number one, I definitely thank you for your transparency. And even right now, I don't have any cameras on me, but this message pertaining to abuse, like I said, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, whatever, the devil didn't want. And there were so many problems that I had with this computer coming forth. And even right now, I can't even hear myself speak. So I was trying to figure out, okay, is my mic on? Is my mic on? But I'm going for it anyway. And this is something that needs to be addressed, especially within the body of Christ. Now, there are people, especially this day and hour, they come from different backgrounds. And they come in within the church, and you don't know what a person have gone through. And especially, like the young lady said, the caller, people are coming to church just as they are. People are coming to church hurt, regardless of what type of abuse that they've dealt with. And that's why it's so important, number one, to pray for each other, not talk about each other, and especially when we find something that the person had gone through. Instead of talking about them, let's love on them. Let's pray for them. Let's go and find out what we can do to help them. You know, I think about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan helped that person after all other ones walked by and didn't help that person who was injured. There were those religious people that walked by, didn't do anything. Another religious person walked by, didn't do anything. But that Good Samaritan, how to say, the least likely to help that person, not only picked them up, but also aided in getting that person rehabilitated. And this is what the believer is supposed to do. Help those who are hurt or injured to be rehabilitated. I definitely thank God for that caller, because this is something that, this is one of the abuse that we often don't talk about. And the bad part about it, it's almost like now the devil wants to make a mockery out of the Christian faith. We see it on the TV how there may be some ministers that may be doing the right thing, but then the media will broadcast on national news that one leader who's doing wrong. and it puts a bad stain on the body of Christ. It sends a false representation to many others, not just those who ain't saved, but even those who may be weak, those who may be a seeker learning who God is. And it hurts. It hurts and it affects all of us. So it's very important for us to be prayerful. It's very important for us to see if there is someone that's going through. Let's lend a hand to help. But also, even when someone comes to church, like I said, we don't know what a person's history is. So we have to understand that there are some people, just because we may know a little bit more than some people, or we may have been in church a little bit longer, we have to deal with people in love and allow them to learn God and for us to help them. But also understand, these people could be on the verge of walking away from God, just like the caller mentioned. So we have to understand, when people are coming to church, we have to treat them in love. We have to be there to embrace them, and not just having that responsibility just on the leaders, but also it's all about responsibilities. Are you your brother's keeper? Yes, you are, brothers and sisters. So this topic about abuse, like I said, regardless if it's physical, mental, emotional, or even spiritual, digital, whatever, abuse is real. And it's happening more often than we realize. And also, like I said, it's not just happening towards the towards the females, but it's happening towards the men as well. I want to provide some more information. Now, when it comes down to it, when it talks about abuse, we have to tell someone. We have to tell someone. Now, when it comes down to the physical, the digital, or even the emotional abuse, we have to get the authorities involved. Get the authorities involved, because that's a crime. And you want to have everything documented too. Not just telling the authorities, the police officers, but also write things down, notate them, and also tell someone that you can trust. This is something pertaining to physical abuse. It says, start by learning that you are not alone. More than 1 out of 10 high school students have already experienced some form of physical abuse from their dating partner, or many of the teens did not know what to do when it happened. Realizing those experiences that you've dealt with, those are not experiences that you should be dealing with. It is not okay for someone to disrespect you. It is not okay for someone to talk down upon you. Recognize these behaviors, how someone is treating you, recognize them as wrong. Like I said, contact someone, tell someone that you trust. Many people feel anger, guilty, ashamed, or shocked after they have had some type of abuse. But we have to let someone know. Also, especially if it's been some type of sexual abuse, go to the emergency room or a clinic immediately. Go have yourself checked. Like I said, contact the police, and remember, none of this is your fault. You have no reason to blame yourself. I don't care how long you've dealt with it. I don't care if other people in your family have dealt with it. You don't have to deal with it. Talk to an adult, a friend, or a family member that you can trust. Create a safety plan. A safety plan for you. Also, consider getting a restraining order. If need be, consider getting a restraining order. Please do not accept any excuses for your partner's behavior. That's not your fault. And also, you're not responsible for their actions. So you're welcome to take responsibility for yourself and understand that you have to look out for yourself. And especially if you have children, look out for yourself and for your children. One of the things I think about, especially when it comes down to wondering if this is something that's acceptable, because a lot of times people feel like, well, you know, I've been dealing with it for so long and it's okay, whatever, but it's not okay. One of the things I often think about, if you think about this, especially if you're thinking about marrying that person, if you're dating that person and you're not married to them and y'all are in a relationship, I want you to think about this. Would that person, if that person never changed, would you be happy for the rest of your life? I want you to understand, marrying that person will not change their behavior. It will only make things worse. But also, I want you to think about this. If you've been dating that person and that person has been talking down upon you, mistreating you, even trying to isolate you from your family, did you wait all your life for a love like that? Did you wait all your life for a love like you're experiencing right now? Think about this. If you had a daughter or a son in your same situation, what would you encourage them to do? Would you encourage them to stay, tough it out, or leave that person alone? Whatever you would encourage your son or your daughter to do about that situation, that's what you need to do for yourself. Count yourself as a person. Count yourself as a person, as an important person. Count yourself as important. That's not the way that God wants you to be treated. And like I said, you didn't wait all your life to be treated that way. Understand, just because a person may sound pretty, look good, but if their behavior is ugly, that's their true person. That's their person identity. So we have to understand, when it comes down to in a courtship, in some type of relationship, if it's marriage or in dating, we have to understand, we have to protect ourselves. Like I said, if need be, getting the police involved, getting a restraining order. Protect yourself. And I'm going to say it like this. Don't try to tough it out for the children, because what would happen if something happened where you end up getting hurt or killed and your child found out that you stayed for them? They may blame themselves. The devil may use that to blame themselves because mama or daddy is no longer with us. It may be good, it may sound good to deal with that abuse for the sake of your child. But if you would ask that child, they would rather have mama or daddy safe and alive than in harm's way and dead for them. So understand we have to get the help. And also, I do want to say this. First of all, I'm not a licensed physician, but I do want to say this. It's nothing wrong to get counseling. It's nothing wrong to get professional counseling, professional help. A lot of times people have an issue with Christians or believers seeing a professional person. That's a ministry that is provided for us as well. There are some Christian counselors that are available. So we have access to get someone that is of the same faith that can help us and provide us the tools to be able to get the help that we need. Also, I do want to share this information. For those who need help immediately, if you experience some type of abuse, one resource I would recommend, the National Domestic Violence Hotline. They're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Their telephone number is 1-800-799-7233. Once again, that's 1-800-799-7233. Or you can look them up online at www.thehotline.org. Also, this is for teens and young adults. They're also open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. This is called Love is Respect. Their number is 1-866-331-9474 or www.loveisrespect.org. Or if you want to text them, you text Love Is, text the word Love Is at 22522. I want to share with y'all, when I looked up the website Love Is Respect, it gave a lot of great information, especially to the young adults. There's a quiz that's on here. This I recommend this, if not just the young adults, but even adults can look at this also. They have some quizzes on here that give you different scenarios, and it will help you to see if whatever relationship that you're in, if it's healthy, unhealthy, or abusive. And they'll ask you different scenarios, and when you choose one of those three, it will show you what your answer is compared to what the actual answer is. It's a very, very good website where it also talks about what love really is. There's something called Relationship 101. It talks about the dating basics. It tells you about what a relationship is, what you should look for in a partner. Should you break them? Also, it tells you, it's categorized into three sections. The first section, like I said, dating basics, relationship spectrums, dating question and answers. What you should look for in a partner? Should you break up? The second part, a healthy relationship. It tells you what a healthy relationship consists of. How can we communicate better? It talks about trust. It talks about setting boundaries. It talks about conflict resolution. It talks about even sex. The other part it talks about what is abuse. It talks about the types of abuse, why people abuse, the power and control that a person tries to get. Why do people stay in abusive relationships? It also talks about the drugs and alcohol abuse as well. It talks about sexting and texting. It talks about the social network safety, social networking safety. So like I said, especially for people of any age, these are some very, very good tools that you can look at. Once again, the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233 or www.thehotline.org. For Love is Respect, that's 1-866-331-9474 or www.loveisrespect.org. Or you can text them at 22522. Text the word love is. Have that as one word. Love is. Have it. No space. Love is. Also for spiritual abuse, two books I highly recommend. The first book is called Healing from Spiritual Abuse, How to Break Free from Bad Church Experience. The author is by Ken Blue. Ken Blue. B-L-U-E. Ken Blue. Also, the second book is Spiritual Abuse by June Hunt. That's June, H-U-N-T. And it's very important for us to be able to just be honest and evaluate the relationship that we're in to be able to see if this is something that is healthy, if this is something that we desire out of love. And we have to be honest with ourselves, because I think a lot of time it's easy for us to see other people's relationship, but when we see our own relationship, we either make excuses or we settle for less. And that's not something that we deserve. God has so much for us to enjoy in this life. And hurt and pain is not one of them. One of the things I always say, true love don't hurt. And I know we've talked about those who may be victims. We might have talked about those who have experienced the pain of a physical abuse or a mental abuse, emotional abuse, spiritual abuse, digital abuse. But we're offering also prayer for the abuser. You know, like I said, I don't want to just have this program where we just go out and just start, if you want to say, exposing a problem without exposing the solution to the problem. And so the key thing is, for those who even have abused a person, think about that's not the proper behavior. And it's time to get some help. And help is provided. There's help accessible that can help a person in whatever situation that they're in, if they're the victim or if they are the abuser. And the key thing is, and this is not just to put anybody down, but I want to expose the opportunity to allow God's people to get the help that is needed, regardless if they are the victim or the abuser. Because the key thing is, God want to heal both the abuser and also the victim. God want to help them to be delivered from the hurt, from the pain. And also, one of the things I found out, a lot of times when a person have been hurt, when a person have been abused, if they don't get the help that is needed, they will end up abusing others. And it happens not just in a relationship, but also even within the church. Sometime a person have had some type of church hurt, some type of mistreatment from their leader, and next thing you know, if they become a leader, then they react or respond the same way that they were treated. So we want to allow this to be an opportunity, like I said, not just to expose a problem, but expose the solution, to be able to identify whatever we have gone on, that has gone on in our lives, to be able to pinpoint it, to be able to acknowledge it, but also to be able to acknowledge it, to get the help that is needed for us to be whole, to have our hearts reconnected back to the way that God originally made us. Like, I have some callers on the line right now. Once again, for those who want, the telephone number is 516-453-9118. Once again, that's 516-453-9118. And I'm going to go to the lines right now. And like I said, I won't be asking for anyone's name. You can stay anonymous if you like. Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart Radio Program.
Yeah, this, you get this, the 407 number? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my name is Nathan in Orlando. And good conversation, good topic. I'm going to say something that a lot of people, especially pastors or people in positions of influence, might at first not want to hear me, but I'm going to ask them to take the time to at least think about it before you disagree. I think a lot of the abusive relationships in the church and in our society, and our society as a whole, starts with the pastors. And let me give you a good example. I hear more pastors, and I've told a couple pastors I know, when you say that, I tag you as a fool. They'll say the best way to handle your, the way, or they'll say something along the lines, the way I deal with my critics is I delete it, drop their letter in the trash, or and just ignore the critics. But here's the thing about a critic is your critic because he's hurt. Again, if you can listen to your critic where he's right, even if he's not 100%, but where he's right, you build a bridge to him and made a friend. And a critic is a teacher. The difference between a critic and a teacher is a teacher ain't hurt, a critic is. And whenever you've been hurt and you're ignored, whether you're 100% right or not, it doesn't matter. When you've been ignored after you've been hurt, you know, there's a proverb that says a wounded brother is harder to win than a strong city, you know. And so that's one of the biggest things that I think those at the top, they have the position of influence, and because they're doing better, they're not better, they're just better off, you know, because they look like they're you see the church and you see the culture and you think, well, the church, the people in the church are doing better. Good example of this was the prodigal son, or the prodigal sons. The one son goes off and he comes back and his brother can't rejoice. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, he's better equipped to be an encouragement to his brother, and he's not. You know, so I think the pastors are a big, I could go on with a whole bunch of other examples and insights I have on it, but I just want to throw that out.
Okay. Number one, I do thank you for your call. And the main thing, regardless of how a hurt has come in the person's life or even within the church, the main thing as a believer is for us to be not reactive, but start being proactive. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do? And so the main thing for us to do is, number one, is to pray for us to start knowing our word, knowing the word of God, but also when we start seeing those things that may seem questionable. Number one, ask questions. If it seems that something ain't right, don't just sit down and do nothing, but let's start asking questions. You know, a lot of times, and this is even pertaining to, I'll just say pertaining to the spiritual abuse. A lot of times we just accept what is said instead of researching for ourselves. And a lot of times, even I've heard in the past, and even what the young lady had mentioned earlier in the call, a lot of times some people may even try to threaten, well, you don't question God. Well, no, I'm not questioning God, I'm questioning you. Also, even being aware, if it don't seem right, if it don't feel right, ask questions, ask other people. Of course, like I said, do your research, but also ask people, because a lot of times when people try to isolate you, they're isolating you for a reason. Excuse me. They isolate you for a reason. So when people start using control or their authority, that is not healthy, but also that is a form of witchcraft. Anytime people even would try to make threats, well, you, if you leave this ministry, you're going to be cursed with a curse, or you will never prosper, which I've heard some people have mentioned that about their leader or their former leader, and that is not biblical. That is not biblical. So the key thing is for us to do our part in knowing and studying God's word. So when something come across, regardless of who it is, if something is said and it don't sound right, investigate it. Investigate it. Investigate it. Investigate it. And also, if you don't get a peace about something, check it out. Because there may be something that God is letting you know that, you know what? Even though you may trust this person, there's something going on that is not right. And unfortunately, some people, even church leaders, would now, I'm not saying all church leaders are bad. No. But the thing is for us to do our homework. Us to do our homework in studying the church that you may want to attend. Also, more importantly, make sure that we do our part in reading God's word, studying God's word, having a prayer life. So when something don't seem right, investigate. Investigate. Ask questions. Ask questions. Ask questions. I can't emphasize that enough. Ask questions. And if they don't want to answer your questions, then you may need to go somewhere else. So the key thing is, if a loving pastor is concerned about the souls of his people, he welcomes questions. He welcomes it. But also, he's not trying to control or manipulate the members. The key thing also is realizing that a true leader would never ask anyone to do something that he's not willing to do himself. A true leader is an example, not a dictator. A true leader has the heart of God. A true leader has the heart for God's people. But a true leader will not use his power or authority to rule over someone. No, he won't. Even if you look in the Bible, oftentimes when Jesus did his public speaking, he spoke about what? About spiritual abuse. He talked about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. What they were doing, they were putting stipulations on people. They were putting stipulations, what we call legalism. They were putting stipulations on people. They got to do this, do that, to do this, do that. Not just accept God's word, or not just accept Jesus, but they got to do this. They're putting requirements and putting like a list. Look, we have to know God's word. We have to study God's word. But like I said, we got to ask questions too. So it doesn't make you less than a believer to ask questions. Ask questions. Ask around. This number, 516-453-9118. I do want to say this. Normally, this is a 60-minute program, but because of this topic of abuse, I extended it to 90 minutes. So I want to make sure that we talked about this to expose it, to be able to identify it, but also get the resources that are needed to get the help that is rightfully needed. I'm going to go back to the lines for those who want to say something. Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart Radio program. Hello? Okay. We're going to go to the next person. Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart Radio program. Hello? Okay. Go to the next person. I want to thank each and every one of you all who are calling. Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart Radio program.
Hello?
Yes?
Hello,
hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart. Doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. First of all, I would like to tell you that I really appreciate the love and the compassion that you have for the people, you know, and to helping
thank
the people.
You.
I really appreciate that. And I wanted to speak a little bit on my past relationship and marriage that I was involved in. I experienced verbal, mental abuse in my relationship, and I wanted to get on here and speak a little bit on it so I could help someone else or perhaps several women that may have, that may be experiencing what I went through. So,
yes.
I want to first start out and say that I was married to an ordained minister, and he, ministered a lot. He traveled and ministered to several congregations. And at the time when I was married with him, he really, really studied the Bible a lot. And I really have, a love and desire to read the Word and to study the Word as well. And it would be a lot of times when I would try to, start a conversation, or try when I see him Bible studying, or just basically into the Word, then I would speak when he's done. Try to speak with him about incorporating us, the family, into studying with him, and he never would do it. He would always just study for himself so he could be able to minister God's word, before the people once we go to church. And I experienced this over and over again, and it began to bother me because he would be up, speaking to the congregation, and it was very, very hard for me to study. I mean, not study, but to focus, my attention on, him or the word that he was giving. It was very, very hard for me because, and then he would like make a difference, with the kids. Like if I would go to work and I was working 6 days or 7 days out of a week, and at the time he was joint unemployment, and he stayed at home and watched the kids, and I would be so tired by the time Sunday come. Now keep in mind, I really, really love going to church, but by the end of that week, he would say, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to get up and get ready for church.
And if you're not ready, I'm going to take my kids and I'm going to leave your kids. And I'm like, okay, you know, that wasn't right, but I had to basically go through that. And, you know, it was like very belittling in the relationship. So, but we decided after we talked that we would go to counseling. So we went to counseling, and it was pretty good for a little bit. Then after a while, he told me that he was concerned about his, you know, the way the people looked at him, the congregation, you know, saw him or viewed him as a minister. You know, so therefore, he discontinued going to the marriage counseling. So once again, to make a long story short, we, you know, after talking again about it later on, we tried to do it again, but it was like, I guess, going through a constant battle of spiritual warfare. And after a while, you know, we just decided to separate, and I went ahead through counseling because I, you know, felt that I needed help, and I knew that I did to get me to build my confidence back up, you know, to build up my self-esteem, you know, and at the same time, I know that even though he was an ordained minister, that I also have a calling, you know, on my life. So I wanted to make sure to let the enemy know, you know, that he is not going to defeat me, you know, that he's not going to defeat me. And I know that that was his way of trying to defeat me. And also within that marriage, I went through, you know, things physically as well, and God still was there for me. So I want to, if there's anybody out there that's going through the same thing, what I went through, I want to let you know that there is hope. There is hope. And whatever you do not give up, and just continue to move forward, get help, and allow God to continue to raise you up and to build you up, to shape you and mold you into who he called you to be. And I just once again want to appreciate you for listening to me, and God bless y'all.
Yeah, I thank you. I thank you so much for your testimony and also for your transparency. This is what this program is all about. Not just to be just another program, just be holding a space, but to reach out to let people know what God can do, and also to be able to help others through other people's testimony what God can do. Because a lot of times when people are going through something, sometimes they feel like they're all alone. Sometimes they feel like they're the only one that they are going through it, or they had gone through it. But this program, I am so grateful for those who call to even share their personal, even private things that they could have kept to themselves. But God has allowed them to overcome those things to be able to help others. And even those who may be still dealing with the process of what's going on, they're drawing strength by being able to get it out, but also the help that they will be giving those who are battling something. Some people have battled a situation and they never dealt with it, or they never shared with anyone, and no one knows. And sometimes they may have even tried to escape it mentally. But with this program, we want to provide help. We want to let people know what God can do. Because first and foremost, this is a Christian program. This is a Christian program that's there to show people, to point people to Christ. That's the main thing that this program is provided for, to point people to Christ. Point people to what Jesus did on the cross for each and every one of us. Not just dying for our sins, but also he rose up with power to help us to overcome any and every situation that we are dealing with, had dealt with, or will deal with. And so this is not only talking about, like I said, not only talking about the women who have been abused, but also the men who has been abused. This program, this episode is not just talking about the abused men, the abused women, but also we talk to the abuser, the abusive man. We talk to the abusive woman. And so this situation, this problem, this condition that's going on called abuse, like I said, regardless if it's physical, mental, emotional, digital, or spiritual abuse, regardless if you're the victim or the abuser, we're going to give everything to God. We're going to give everybody to God. And we're going to allow this, we're going to allow this platform for me to one more time say the places and the resources that we can get the help that is needed. Once again, the National Domestic Violence Hotline. And they're open 24/7, 365 days a year. The number is 1-800-799-7233. Or if you look them up online, it's www.thehotline.org. For teens and young adults, this is a very, very great, great, great website to look at for you to be able to examine the courtship that you are experiencing or the person that you may be considering dating. It's www.loveisrespect.org. Loveisrespect.org. Their telephone number is 1-866-331-9474. Or if you want to text, you can text the word love is and no space, don't have any space between love is. Have it all together. Love is. Text love is at 22522. Also, for spiritual abuse, two books I would recommend. One is called Healing for Spiritual Abuse, How to Break Free from Bad Church Experience. That's by Ken Blue, B-L-U-E. Also, Spiritual Abuse, that's by June Hunt. Once again, June Hunt. At this time, we're going to get ready to wrap this program up. I thank each and every one of you all for your calls. And what we always do, every program must end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're coming to you right now, God. Thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness, God. We're coming to you right now, God. We want to acknowledge your presence on tonight, God. God, we're speaking, God, for those who may be hurt, God, those who may have been abused, God, in the past, currently, or even someone that may be stepping into an abusive relationship, God. We're speaking, God, that you come in, that you intervene right now in the name of Jesus. Satan will bind everything you stand for, bind every problem, bind every confusion right now in the name of Jesus. We're speaking a word of safety right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're speaking, God, that you provide shelter for those who may be going through something that's unhealthy, God. God, we're speaking, God, not just for the men or for the women that has been abused, but Lord, we even speaking, God, that you touch those who are the abuser, God. We speaking, God, that you minister to them, God, regardless if it's physical, mental, or even spiritual abuse, God. We holding them up right now, God. Touch their heart, God. Let them know what they're doing is not right, God. But Lord, let them know, God, that you love them, God, and you did not create them to do that, God. God, we speaking, God, for whatever the cause of them doing that, God, we speaking, God, that you intervene right now in the name of Jesus and say about everything you stand for, about every problem, about every confusion right now in the name of Jesus. We bind every generational curse. We bind any and everything that the devil tries to do and canceling the devil's assignment. Canceling God's assignment right now in the name of Jesus. We speak in purpose. We speak in healing. We speak in deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for everything you've done, everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thank each and every one of y'all for y'all, especially y'all words who have called, the testimonies that were provided. We thank you for everything that you all have provided for this program. We ask y'all to continuously lift us up in prayer. We thank you all and tune in next week where we'll be online, Reconnect My Heart radio program. Be blessed.